Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 4 and go through verse 17. John 13, starting in verse 4. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for every example that you give us, and all of Scripture is good for us, every last bit of it, and so we just thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity for this morning where we can look into your Word and we can see the things that you have for us. Father, there is a way that we can be happy, and we're going to look at 7 happy people this morning. And I pray, Father, that we would be happy, that we would be joyful, that we would be excited about all that you've done on our behalf, and just the opportunities that you give us to be a part of your work. And so I pray, Father, this morning that you'd speak to each one of us personally, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, there's a question. What kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian are you? Are you humbly grateful, or are you grumbly hateful? Folks, there's both types in the world, trust me. You come across different people, and I'll tell you this morning that attitude will determine altitude. Attitude determines our altitude. Are we wanting to be more like God? Are we looking to strive to be like Jesus? Or are we liking to strive to be more like those murmuring and complaining Israelites? What do we want for our life? We could be happy people. It takes some work, but we could be happy people if we wanted to be. And we are humans. We're entitled to our feelings, right? There's a lot of people, well, I don't feel like it, or I feel like this, or I feel like that. Feelings change, right? But we are entitled to our feelings. Remember that God remembers that we are but dust. We are but dust. He is touched with a feeling of our infirmities. God is not there just to keep us out of trouble, but he's there to go through trouble with us. He will take us through trouble. It's interesting because a lot of people say, well, I just never had any trouble in my life. Well, check to see if you have a pulse. Are you alive? Because I'm telling you, if you're alive, you've had trouble in your life. It happens to everyone. It happens to the just and the unjust. We all have troubles. And so thank God that God goes through those with us. We can walk with God, and we can have a happier existence if we want it. Smiles go a long ways, right? I used to be told a smile doesn't hurt, but it does an awful lot of good. It's amazing. You can walk down the street and you can see people, and if they're smiling, it just kind of makes you feel good, right? But if they're gloomy and down in the dumps and all, it kind of makes you, well, I wonder what's going on with them. What's up ahead, right? They just came from that way, so what am I about to go into that they're so gloomy and down and all about? A smile would change a lot of things. It's been said that we are too blessed to be stressed. And we are. We are blessed beyond measure. God has given us so much. And again, if salvation's all we ever got, it would be more than enough. It would be more than enough. But He gives us so much. And then it's not right for the upright to be uptight, right? We have a tendency to be uptight about things that we don't need to be. If you are a child of God, what do you have to be uptight about? Have we gone through even a smidget of what Christ went through? People say, well, I was spit on. Okay. Were you beaten? Were you hung from a cross? Did they put a plait of crowns upon your head and push them down in? Have you gone through that? Well, I was mocked. Oh, yeah, I bet that hurt. See, we think that we have a right to be uptight because we're a child of God, right? Somebody show me in the Word of God where it says that you can be uptight because you're a child of God. It doesn't say that. But it does say over and over and over we're supposed to have joy. We can have that. This morning I want to tell you happiness is different than joy. Happiness is different than joy. We can have the joy of the Lord in any circumstance. It doesn't matter what's going on. At all times in your life, you can still have joy. You go, well, you haven't been through what I've been through. You can still have joy. No matter what you're going through, you can still have joy. It is our strength, even when we are weak. It is the bottom line that gives us our lives meaning and makes life worth living, because in the end, we win. Isn't it good to be on the winning side? Isn't it good to know we win? I mean, it looks pretty grim out there in the world today. But if you're a child of God, you win. So how about some joy? Do you know, I've never, ever, 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 and I'm not a big sports fan, I'll just explain that right away, but I've never seen a sporting event when the fans for the team that wins go, wow, I wish that hadn't never happened. That just blew my whole day. I've never once seen that. The winning team is always excited. In fact, sometimes they get too overzealous and they start destroying things. But we need to be excited. We need to be joyful. We need to be happy. Put a smile on our face. It's amazing what it will do. The difference it would do. Now, happiness is more temporary because it's based on happenstance or happenings. Certain circumstances make us happy. So we often lift up joy as the thing to truly seek after. But we can be happy. We can have joy, but people say, don't we want to be happy? Don't we want to be happy? Well, we should want to be happy. Isn't it better to be happy than to be down in the dumps? I mean, your whole attitude, when you're happy, everything is just like wonderful, right? Doesn't matter what happens, everything's just wonderful. But when you're down, sad, frowning, it doesn't matter what happens, you're not happy. It's like dynamite wouldn't get you happy. It just wouldn't. If certain circumstances lead us to be happy, wouldn't it be nice to know what those circumstances are? We'd be seeking out those circumstances so we could be happy all the time, right? We can know the circumstances that lead to happiness. We can know what those are so that we can be happy more often. And yes, the Bible tells us how we can be happy. The first one, happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. If your sins are forgiven, you should be happy. I mean, what a weight has been lifted. What an amazing, amazing gift you've been given. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 7, Romans chapter 4 and verse 7 says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. We can be happy, blessed, happy, excited, smiling. A difference. But I'll tell you, Satan tries to bind us to the past, and Jesus frees us for the future. But Satan wants to keep us unhappy. And sometimes he does a pretty good job of it. Job 5:17 says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth, therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Chastening is not something that most people would say, we should be happy about that, right? But there's a reason for it. It's to correct us. And by the way, when God chastens us, it proves that we belong to Him. And two, it proves He loves us. A lot of people say, well, you know, I would never correct a child because I wouldn't want them to think I don't love them. If you don't correct them, you don't love them. It's a fact. So they need to be corrected. So we need to be happy. We need to be happy when God corrects us because we belong to Him. Proverbs 28:14 says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Wouldn't it be great to just be happy and fear again? I'm going to stress the fact that fear doesn't always mean trembling in fear. It means reverence. We need to reverence God for who He is. We should be happy that He is in control, that He knows every last bit of your life, every detail. People go, well, I don't want Him to know all that stuff. Well, too late. He knows every last detail of your life. He knows every need you have. And He knows when you're happy or when you're sad. Number two, happy is the man who is delighted more in the Word than in the world. We need to spend more time in the Word than we do in the world because, unfortunately, the world will mess us up. Jesus says, what Jesus says is much more important than what we might feel. You know, Jesus says something and we go, well, I just don't feel like that. Doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is what Jesus said. The Word of God is more important than your feelings, more important than my feelings, more important than anyone's feelings. What does God say? We need to be happy about what God has. And He only instructs us to do what is right. He will never lead us astray. Ever. We have to be more delighted in the Word than the world. In Psalm 119:16, it says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Do we delight ourselves in His statutes? Are we one of those that will not forget His word? Remember the verse about hiding His word in your heart that you might not sin against Him? Do we care about Him enough for that? God's promises are not just mottos to hang on the wall. People think that you know, they write these things that come from the Word of God and they just put them on the wall and they think, okay. That's not what it is. Don't just post these things on social media, but live them. Live them. There's a lot of stuff out there. Thank God I don't have time for social media. But there's a lot of stuff out there today. Well, how do you know that? Because people will show me. Have you seen this? Nope, don't get on that stuff. Don't care about it. Well, have you seen this? No, I'm not into all that stuff. But if you are, fine, that's your choice. But don't just post that stuff, actually live it. Now, there's a lot of people posting stuff that if they actually lived it, could make a big difference, wouldn't it? So live that stuff. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Let's turn to Psalm 1:1. This is good advice for us. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Brother Sommerdorf has a great message on this psalm. We need to be careful. We don't need to spend all of our time with these kind of people. The Bible warns us against it. But people say, well, I have to. If I don't spend all my time with them, how am I going to win them to Christ, right? The problem is you're not going to win them to Christ, but they're going to drag you down to the gutter with them. That's what's going to happen. People go, well, you don't know that for sure. I've seen it over and over where people, they think they have, I got to go hang out at the tavern because that's where all the sinners are. I got to hang out at the strip club because that's where all the sinners are. You fill it in the blank. No, we don't. I'm not saying to totally avoid them. You still need to witness to everyone. That's what we're called to do. But we don't have to go to those places to witness to them. Trust me. The bars close at a certain point in time in the day. Usually early morning hours from what I can see. Because you can drive by them on all hours of the night and they're going pretty good and then all of a sudden they're closed up, nobody's there. You don't have to go where they're at doing the things they're doing to reach them. We need to witness to everyone. But just remember, your friends will define you. Figure out who you're running around with because they will define you. And you can't always use that I was a victim of circumstance line because it doesn't always work. Number 3, happy is the man who keeps God's commandments. In 1 John 3:22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." If we keep his commandments, there's no way not to be pleasing in his sight, right? That's what he wants. He'd be very happy with us. Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." We can be happy. All we got to do is follow his word, and we can be happy, right? You go, "Well, it's not as easy as it sounds." I know it sounds very easy, doesn't it? And I'll say again, as I say all the time, if it was really easy, everybody would do it. So it must be really difficult. But we could do it if we want to. And from our text, John 3:17, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Happy are ye if you do them. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." This word grievous is barous, and it means burdensome or heavy. We think they're terrible. Oh my goodness, I can't bear the weight of all this. His word says they're not. I don't know. I'm going to trust that what he said is true, and what we think is not. They're not heavy or burdensome. And number four, "Happy is the man who dwells in the house of the Lord." Psalm 84:4, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee." Selah. Praising the Lord. How can you praise the Lord and not be happy? I don't know how you could do it. How do you praise God for who he is, what he's done, and not be happy? I mean, doesn't it put a smile on your face just knowing that Jesus came and died for you? That your sins could be forgiven? Doesn't that put a smile on your face? Doesn't that put happiness in your soul? It should. Psalm 144:15 says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." We should be happy. We should take that happiness out to a lost and dying world and show them how happy we are knowing the Lord. How joyful we could be knowing the Lord. Instead of, "Yeah, I think I'd like for you to come to know Christ because this is just so much fun." Boy, they'll be lining up at the front door trying to get in now, won't they? Let's be happy and joyful. Happy. Take our happiness out to a lost and dying world, and maybe we'll see more people getting happy. You can glance at your problems, but you must gaze at the Lord if you want to be happy. See, our problem is we get our eyes off the Lord, we get our eyes on our problems, and oh, now we're unhappy. Well, we just glance at those problems, and then we gaze at the Lord, we can be happy. Because no matter what our problems are, no matter what our troubles are, God's going to go through them with us. And bring us through them. Then number five, "Happy is the man who waits on the Lord." Look at Isaiah. Most people know this one. They've heard it a lot. Isaiah 40:31. It'd be good to see it. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Waiting upon the Lord. God does not want to just give us wings of a dove to fly away from our problems, but He wants to give us the wings of eagles that we will soar above our problems. When the outlook is gloomy, the uplook is bright. Waiting's not easy, is it? We don't like to wait. We have a problem. This day and age of instant everything, I think. I don't think there's anything that you have to wait more than a couple minutes for, right? If we have to go to a drive-thru and sit in the car and wait more than a couple minutes for our food, we are unhappy. But then when we get that same food that we were unhappy because it wasn't ready like that, when it's cold and stale and been sitting under heat lamps for hours, because it's pre-made, we're not happy about that either. Is there a happy medium? Yeah, let's get happy and just wait till they cook it, right? I don't know about you, but I like food that's supposed to be hot. I like it done. Food that's supposed to be cold, I don't want hot. I want it cold. But I want to give them time to make it right. But it's hard to wait. Waiting takes time. Wonder what they did in the old days when you didn't have drive-thrus. And they actually had to go out to the chicken coop and get the eggs, go over and milk the cow or the goat or whatever the case may be, and get all this done, and then they had to cook it all up. They didn't have food in 2 minutes. They didn't have microwaves. Couldn't heat up leftovers. It's kind of what I think microwaves is for, right? Just heating leftovers. Makes sense to me. But they didn't have all that. And yet they survived. They were probably happier. Problem is, we don't like to wait. But when God tells us to wait, there's a reason for it. And we should wait patiently and be happy while we wait. Because the answer He's going to give us in His time is the perfect answer. So wait. It's hard to wait, though. But we still need to wait. Then 6, happy is the man who trusts the Lord. I'm not talking about the man who says, I trust the Lord. I'm talking about the man who actually trusts the Lord. There's a difference because talk's cheap. We can say we trust God, but then when we're put to the test, are we really trusting Him? When you cannot trace God's hand, you can trust His heart. When you know your future is secure, you can focus on the present. Don't have to worry about the future, right? God's got that under control. God's got the future all handled. You already know if you're a child of God, you know where your destiny is. So focus on the present. We can trust He is with us even when it doesn't feel like it. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So even when it doesn't feel like He's there, He's still there. Psalm 84:12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Got to thinking about the hymn, Trusting Jesus. Trusting Jesus. We sing it. But sometimes we just sing the words and it goes like right on out and it doesn't stay. It doesn't penetrate. It doesn't go anywhere. So I'm going to read these words to you. Simply trusting every day. Trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While He leads, I cannot fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Are we trusting Him in all? In everything? Just trusting Him. Knowing that no matter what happens, He's got us taken care of. He knows what's best for us. He only wants what's best for us. I will tell you, though, the Christian life is not just sit back and collect a heavenly welfare, right? It's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. This is actually work. It is a war. But it is a happy life. You can be happier serving Jesus, following Him, than following the world. We just got to want to be happy. Psalm 128:2 says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." And Proverbs tells us, "He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." He that has mercy on the poor, he that will help the poor, those who need a hand up. Do we care about them? It says, happy is he if you help the poor. And number 7 is our last one. Happy is the man who endures. Enduring whatever comes away our way. James 5:11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Those that endure. Are we enduring? Too many just throw in the towel, giving up. What if we endure till the end? Spurgeon said this, "The suffering which you have now is just the black velvet upon which the diamond of God's glory is going to be revealed." The suffering that we go through is minuscule in comparison to what Christ went through. People go, "Well, He came to die for us." I'm not talking about the dying part. I'm talking about God turning His back on Him. He had to endure that. God does not turn His back on His children. But He turned His back on His only begotten Son when He became sin for us. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." Endure. Continue on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Happens when you quit. You didn't endure. And if you're happy, if those are happy which endure, if you don't endure, that would tell me you're not happy. And how do we give up on God? Did he give up on us? Well, the truth of the matter is he should have, right? But he didn't. And he still doesn't. He still wants what's best for us. Let's be happy. Let's be people who are happy. Let's tell others about how happy we are with our Savior. How can you be unhappy with Jesus? He provides every need you have. He's forgiven you of your sins. He's given you eternal life. He's prepared a place for you in heaven. And if that's not enough, he showers us with blessings. How can you be unhappy with him? Well, he didn't give me $1 million. Because you don't need it. Right? If you needed it, he would provide your needs. You obviously don't need it. So let's be happy. Let's be one of these people that are happy and then show the world that we're happy. And endure till the end. Jesus is going with you through it anyway. Just endure. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word again. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace towards us. We thank you for always being there. No matter what's going on in our life, you're always there, providing for our every need. How could we be unhappy with you? How could we be a people who are doomy and gloomy and unhappy when we have everything to be happy about? Father, if there's someone in our midst this morning that doesn't know Christ as their own personal Savior, has never, ever received the free gift of eternal life, I pray, Father, today would be the day that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That they would know how wonderful it is to have their sins forgiven. Father, for born-again Christians here, people who've accepted the free gift of eternal life, if we're not happy, if we're going through life with this doomy and gloomy attitude, I pray that we'd change that. That we'd see from your word that we can be happy. We can actually enjoy this Christian life. Well, Father, we'll have this time of invitation. We just ask that you would guide us and direct us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.